Wow. Amen. Well, we go from no tummy to two tummies over here, you said over here, brother. Love the way you greeted me this morning. That was very nice of you. Matt, we're going to miss you, brother. I know that God is just going to have his hand upon you, doing wonderful things down there for the next 2 months. I don't know. Matt says he's never been to a place where he's been more mistreated than in the Calvary Command Community Church. That's because we love you, love you. This is my buddy right here. This is my buddy, Lou Holmes, over here. And he has meant so much to me. Every time that I would walk into Oakton Baptist Church over, I was greeted with warmth and hugs just the way you want to when you walk into the house of God. And it was because of this man right here who has spent I don't know how many years and how many times and how many souls that he has led to Christ. But God, we love you, Brother Lou, here at Mount Calvary. You feel right at home. And,
okay.
And any time that you preach for the next 2 hours, I'll be here for the next 20 minutes of it, but you preach for the next 2 hours. You just turn yourself loose, Lou.
Well, you know, your pastor here is very special to Miss Barbie and I. We moved to Little River, South Carolina, and I guess we were down there 2 or 3 weeks, and I was in the garage one day, and I looked up, and guess who come walking up the driveway? And, I tell you, we love Brother Charlie in this church. God bless you. We love all of you. We really do. So, I want to share two thoughts this morning. You know, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7. I have two verses I want to look at, but the Lord Jesus was teaching his followers, those that followed him and loved him. You know, as y'all remember, as I shared my testimony, you know, there's a lot of people go to church, but then there are those who follow Jesus. And here's a group. He was teaching them about living and how you live and things that you do. And in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 13 and 14, I want to look at here. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many be which go in thereof. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Lord, would you help me to speak your word this morning? And Lord, what your desire would be from our midst here today, would you just, Lord, once again, do the work that only you can do, how you can change a heart, how you can change your life, how you can build people. So Lord, do your work here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus had been teaching his followers. He'd been teaching them about tithing, you know, in chapter 6. He'd been teaching about alms and about tithing. He'd been teaching them about what to do. You know, you give it in secret. He'd been teaching them about their prayer life and how to pray. He'd been teaching them about forgiveness. And one of the things that I find that is so hard that with so many people is to talk about forgiveness and real, honest, truthful forgiveness. I wish our world would understand, and you know, I don't know about, I'm not here on politics or anything, but I want to tell you, I get so sick and tired of people just calling everybody names and never understand what the word forgiveness means. He was talking about fasting as he was teaching his people. He was talking about, he said, lay not your treasures up in heaven. I mean, lay not your treasures up on earth, but lay your treasures up on earth. He was talking then, he was telling his followers what your treasure is. Really, that's where your heart is. And then he talks to them in chapter 6 about no man can serve two masters. And then he takes them in their life about the kingdom of heaven and what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. We were talking last night about heaven and what it would be like. Can you imagine walking on gold? Can you imagine gates, one pearl being gates that are so large is what it is? Can you imagine some of the colors and things, what heaven's going to be like? But can you imagine seeing Jesus face to face? Can you imagine what that's going to be like? You know, I hear people talk about Jesus and they refer to him in such terminology that just turns my stomach sometimes. We serve and walk with a holy God, a God without sin, one who knew no sin, but yet he took your sin and my sin upon himself. And he was God, fully God, but yet fully man. He came to this earth to understand and to show you and I that he was fully man, but yet he was fully God. And when he came to this earth, he came to show you and me that he is one that can forgive sin, but yet he is one that he's God, but yet he knew no sin. And but he took our sins upon him. And then he also talked about the judgment of judging people and how you judge people. Because with the same meat you judge someone else, you will be judged. Well, I want to tell you, if people were to understand what that meant, it would quiet a whole lot of this stuff down. Amen. It would make this old world a different place. If people were to understand that this judgment that they pull upon people. Now, what I want to share with you a few thoughts here. When he goes into chapter 7 down here, and he talks about, down in verses 13 and 14, he's talking, are you on the right way of life? Are you on the right way of life? And that's what he says to all of us. You see, you and I, all of us, every one of us, are on a spiritual journey. And you have a journey that you're on. Every day we make choices. The choices we make that affect the direction we travel. Many think the paths don't make a whole lot of difference. But let me tell you something. You are on a spiritual journey. I'm on a spiritual journey. We went to South Carolina. And I prayed a little prayer before I went down there. And this was my prayer. Lord, if you want Barbie and I to be in South Carolina, you're going to have to help us buy a house in peace. Now, I'm going on a fishing trip, and that was my prayer I prayed. We went to South Carolina to go on a fishing trip with my son-in-law, and we went fishing. We caught a nice, wonderful 80-pound shark, and it was 5 foot something other. We had a wonderful time eating it and having it cooked for us, and it was a wonderful journey of through that. But 2 or 3 days later, we go out and look at houses and had no idea of buying a house. And in 15 minutes, Barbie and I bought a house. Now Barbie says that, but she was talked into it. But anyway, within 15 minutes, we were down there. And we bought a house. And I thought it was a dumb prayer that I had prayed. But you know what? Have you ever prayed a prayer that was dumb? And that was a dumb prayer. Lord, if you want us in Myrtle Beach. Now, I had pastored Oakton Baptist for 33 years. No intentions of moving to Myrtle Beach. And we go down and buy a house. And the next thing I know, we're in Myrtle Beach. And I mean, that's just, it has been a God thing all the way. And I want to tell you what, Charlie, you know, to resign from the pulpit, from your church, to leave the ministry where you were, being happy, I understand for the first time in my life what a wife, a mother, a young lady feels like when they've lost a child. It's a feeling that nobody understands until you personally have done it. And walking out of the pulpit and resigning, it was something like losing your child. See, Oakton Baptist had been my child. And we had seen many people come to Christ while we were there. We had seen many workers and things that had happened through the years. And I'm thinking to myself, well, now, what in the world am I going to do in South Carolina? We moved to South Carolina. And when I read this text here, because you see, Everything has a beginning. Now, you notice here it says, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate. It has a beginning there. A wide gate has a beginning. And, you know, it represents the beginning of your ministry, your life, your walk. But, you know, it also can lead you into destruction. That's what the text says here. It describes as wide, to go in there as a wide into this destruction. You see, it allows many to go in with no sacrifice. You know, I want to tell you, when you think to yourself, when I become a Christian, you don't have to give up anything. Well, I can promise you, you do. There are things that's going to change in your life. You can't bring in all the baggage and things of the world that you want. Because when you come to Christ, and truly come to Christ, the materialistic things don't matter anymore. The things that, the prejudice, that you have in the world, did you ever stop to realize the prejudice that goes on in this old world? We have ran into people that where they absolutely had split the church wide open when a black man walked in the door. If you don't call that prejudice, it's terrible. And it's still going on in this old world. And people call themselves Christians and saying, I can't come to church with you, or you can't come to church with me. I believe that's prejudice, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, to have an unforgiving spirit, as he's talking about, broad is the way that leads to destruction. You know, there are those that even, Matt, you're going to run into a lot of these. I know you already have. Believe whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society where this is not accepted anymore. But I want to tell you, this is the living Word of God. It's real. And you say, well, I really don't believe it. Then you really need to come to Christ. Not a religion, but getting in a relationship with Jesus. Because you see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. Now, you know, it is something that is marvelous to know Him as your Lord and your Savior, and it's going to change you. The path that will lead to destruction. Notice the narrow gate in verse 13 down there. It says, in the straight gate, and wide is the gate that, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. When you enter in the narrow way, folks, there's a starting point, and that starting point leads to life. Notice the text. It says it leadeth unto life. Why is it narrow? Why is this gate narrow? Because it leads unto life. You know, it requires some self-denial and obedience. Take your finger and go over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And I think it's verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will not come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Take up the cross and follow me. You see, it has no room for the narrow way has no room for this consuming desire for earthly goods and things of the world. It has no desire for the unforgiving spirit. It has no desire to lift up just self all the time. Now, it has two gates in the starting point and has two ways. It has the broad way, who leads to destruction. Because you see, there are those who will say there's no need to reform. There are those in life who say there's no need to reform. And many love that path. We went out to dinner the other night, and we went in this restaurant, and down in South Carolina, they have happy hour every day from 2 to 4, 2 to 6. Now, it's not the happy hour that we really kind of know around here, but they give food a whole lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. Food will become like if you say, for instance, have a steak dinner at 6 o'clock at night, that's $15. Well, you can go at happy hour and you can maybe find it for $8. And so we were out to a place and we had happy hour, and we were in there having dinner, and we were celebrating that night. We were celebrating 45 years of being saved. You ever celebrate your spiritual birthday? I celebrate every year my spiritual birthday. May the 12th, 1973, I came to Jesus. And when I came to Jesus, I was born again. My first birth didn't bring me nothing to what my second birth brought me. My second birth brought me heaven. My first birth brought me hell. But my second birth brought me heaven. And when I came to Jesus, every year now on my spiritual birthday, we celebrate. So we were in the restaurant and we were eating and had a nice steak dinner and trying to break in my new choppers. And we were enjoying life. Oh, by the way, when I went down, I found out I kept breaking teeth off and kept losing fillings and so forth. And as I was finding all these things out, I went to the dentist, and he wanted to, you know, do several thousand dollars worth of work and so forth. I said, I want all my teeth pulled, pull everything. And he didn't want to do it. So, but anyway, I talked him into it. So anyway, he pulled them all. And do you know, I come to find out my teeth was putting poison into my body. I had infections in my gums that I didn't even know. And the doctor told me, he says, within a few days, you're going to start feeling better. I do. I feel much better now because I had 22 teeth pulled and I got new choppers in now. And you know, we're getting them broke in. But, you know, I feel better. I got a 20-year-old mind and an 82-year-old body. And I really do. I just want to do all these things now. So now I'm trying to work, doing water works and all that kind of stuff, trying to get myself built back up again. But I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. You see, there is a new way now. There's a new walk now. And we went in this restaurant, and they set us right down at the bar. We were sitting at a table, and we were sitting there. And a thunderstorm came up, and when a thunderstorm came up, we were sitting there, and we were eating, and the young man that was waiting on us, I turned to him to pay my check, and I said, you know why I'm here? And right behind him was everybody sitting at the bar. They were having their drinks and doing all their things. That's fine. But I sit there, and I said, you know why I'm here? I said, I'm here to celebrate my spiritual birthday. And he sat and looked at me a little bit. What's this man talking about? I said, you know, I was born again 43 years ago today. At 9 o'clock at night, I was born again. I said, and Jesus came into my heart, and he's changed my life. And I said, I am celebrating tonight my spiritual birthday. Oh, okay. And I could tell he wanted to get away from there. And you know, it's amazing. It's amazing how you can talk to people. And you know, he looked at me, and he was gone a long time, and I don't know. But he came back and he said, thank you very much for being here tonight. So you know what I did? I gave him a nice tip. Because, you know, a lot of times Christians are cheap when they leave tips. They are. They really are. They're very cheap when they leave. They don't want to give tips for anything. They go in, they want this great service, but they don't want to tip anybody for it. So I thought, well, I want him to remember me being there. So I gave him a nice tip. You know what happens? My mind thinks different. You see, I'm in a new gate now. I had a new starting point, and I'm walking this new walk now. And you know, it's a different way than I used to walk. It's a different life than I used to live. And you know, because the way of life is narrow. The way of life is narrow. A lot of people don't understand what it really means to have a narrow way of life, because I want to walk in righteousness now. I want to walk in doing the things of a husband, how he should live with his wife. I want to walk in the way that I feel it would be pleasing to God. I want to teach the word. We've moved down there, and Miss Barbie and I we've started a Bible study in that community. We live in a community with 85 houses, and they all claim to be Christians, and nobody goes to church. So we got a Bible study started down there. And then we've got some people starting to go to church. We're working at them down there because I believe a child of God wants to be in God's house, and they want to be there worshiping and serving. And you know, there's a new way they have, a new walk that they have. And ladies and gentlemen, there are two groups of people. There's many who go in because the entrance is wide. Oh, it's going to feel good to be a Christian, and everything's all going to be settled and taken care of. We hear this all the time. If you come to Christ, everything's going to be okay. I got a little something to tell you. It ain't going to be okay. I never had so many arguments at home until I came to Christ. And I mean, it's all been over different things of life. And you know, Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, when you come to Christ, do y'all know that Christianity was born out of suffering? And it will be pain. It will be hurt. And this entrance that a lot of people come and they think it's wide. They don't need to make no changes. They don't need to follow any of what Christ tells them. And here, he tells them all these different things that we need to do. And I want you to notice something. In that verse down there, he says, in verse 14, because straight is his gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And I want you to know there's a little word down there. Few that find it. See that word few down there? It's amazing to me. Life and few that find it. The life, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the Greek in here, he's talking about it's everlasting life. Few that find it. That life he's talking about is everlasting life. And you see, they've already been judged for their sins. But there are those that are going to be thrown one day into the lake of fire. And there are those who refuse, and they're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. You see, Jesus describes two gates, two ways, two groups, and two destinations. Now, I know this. On May the 12th, 1973, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I did it by faith. I've never seen God. I've never seen Him face to face. I've never seen heaven. I know I'm going there. I know Jesus is my Savior. And I put my trust in Him. And you know when I did that? I eat now out of a different slop trough. I drink from a different well than I used to drink from. And I walk a different walk. And you know, I want Jesus to be Lord of all. The reason I'm standing here today is I want to tell you about how He can change your life. I don't know whether who you are, what your life is about, but I can guarantee you one thing. He'll change your life. When you let Him come into your heart, you let Him become Lord of your life, He'll change your life. The first year I got saved and started walking with the Lord, my wife thought I was crazy. Because she had lived with a man for so many years that had lived in the world. And now, I have a different life. I want to go to church. I want to talk to people. I want to tell people how they can have a life change. As I stand in front of you today and I've moved to South Carolina, and now we have something called a new chapter. God has given me a new chapter. And I look at it this way. I've got a new life now. And that new life is living for Him and telling Him. And you know, I find it so marvelous, so wonderful of how he provides. Our move to South Carolina has been what I call just strictly a God thing. Of renting a house, of buying a house, of moving. And now we're in South Carolina down there, and I go down there, and I feel like Abraham because I'm the age that I am, but I feel like Abraham because I feel like I moved from where he was into this new land. He knew not where he was going. And every day, oh, by the way, I bought a golf cart. And in that golf cart, I'd ride up and down my neighborhood, and I talk to people. And you know, I can talk to people with my golf cart. And you know, I guess they're calling me the crazy preacher up the street. But you know what? I've learned to wear shorts. I've learned to do a whole lot of things different. But you know, through it all, I want to tell people about my Jesus. Now, may I say to you, if you've never trusted him, if you've never let him come into your heart, and you know, Jesus says to you and I that he says, life, if you want life and want it real life, what have you got to do? You need life everlasting. How do you get life everlasting? It's putting your faith and trust in Jesus. Now, y'all don't know me, and I don't know you, but I'm going to ask you something plainly and out loud. Has there come a time and a place in your personal life that you put your faith and trust in Jesus? Has there really come that time? If it has, would you raise your hand? You're in church. It's okay. Lift holy hands to the Lord. If you're here and you've never done it and you'd like to do it, would you just slip your hand up? Wouldn't be a better day, a better time, and a better hour than to say, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior. I'd like to pray a prayer as we close now. Father, I pray if there's one here today that has never trusted in Jesus Christ, and they're very bashful about raising their hand, I pray that they would silently in their heart say this: Dear Jesus, would you forgive me? I have sinned against you. Would you forgive me? And I want you in my heart. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to know you, and I want to walk with you. Right now, I want to invite him to come in and to take my life and to make something of me now. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for anyone today that's made that decision today that you would bless them, that you would guide them, and you would help them as they start this wonderful journey with you. They've gone from the wide gate to the narrow gate, and they'll have a life change that only Christ can give. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
Amen. Don't you love this guy? Yeah. Come on.
Let's introduce him.